Well, good morning, East Tennessee. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and I'm going to give something away today. No, it's not a new car. I wish I could do that. I have done that before. I remember when Dad first became the Chevrolet dealer here in Greenville, Tennessee. It was, he became a dealer August 1 of 1971. And in September, we had this grand opening celebration, and Dad gave away a little purple Chevy Vega. Now, we actually sold a lot of Chevy Vegas. I know they don't have a real good reputation. Rarely do you ever see one. I think you probably see more Pintos than you see Vegas running around. But Dad gave away a Vega. I'll never forget being there for that big grand opening thing. They had bluegrass music and cloggers there in the showroom and refreshments and just all kinds of stuff. And the new 71 models had come out, I think. Yeah. And that would have been the 72 models had just come out. And so we were celebrating all of that. But there was this guy named Thurman Chandler, and he was going around. Everybody said, "You all might as well go home because I'm going to win this Vega." And, I mean, just raising all kinds of cain with everybody and just a big mouth, you know, how some people are like that. And anyway, doggone it, if they didn't draw his name. My mom actually did the drawing and pulled out his name, and Dad read it, Thurman Chandler. And he had won the Chevy. I told you I was going to win. It was funny. He kept that car for a long time. Well, I'm not giving away a Chevy Vega, but I am giving away a bunch of T-shirts. I have got some beautiful T-shirts that Ford sent to me out of the blue. Well, not exactly. I had told the executives at Ford in my region that I had this, this art project that was presented to me by Bill Bledsoe, Dr. William Bledsoe, art director at Tuscum College, and they had designed this stripe package, a trim package, basically, that you would put on the Ford Mustang. I talked about it last week. But anyway, they sent me 70 T-shirts for his class. Well, he only has about 15 people in it. And then they sent me 70 more. So I have got plenty of Mach 1. It says it's really attractive. It's gray, which is the new most popular color. And it says Mach 1 and has a really Art Deco kind of looking drawing of the Mustang. And on the back, it has the Ford logo and says Mach 1, 1969-2021. So if you want one of these T-shirts, then just come on down the gateway. I've got large and extra large. And I will give them out to anybody that wants to come in and get one. So anyway, I told you I was going to give something away. So I did. The latest numbers in the microchip shortage, automakers have trimmed another 250,000 vehicles out of global production plans this past week because of the ongoing worldwide shortage of microchips. North America auto plants accounted for only a small part in those cuts. European factories were the ones that taken the brunt of it this particular period. But anyway, we've been getting some stuff in that has been sitting for a while in a parking lot, waiting for the final chips to be installed. And so they were. We got several F-150s in last week. Got a couple Bronco Sports. Some of the Nissans are rolling in, getting a lot of the new Frontiers, which are fabulous, by the way. I'm really impressed with what Nissan has done to try to cut into the lead that the Tacoma has. If somebody's looking for a small truck, we got it. The Maverick should be here any day, so I'm excited about that. There's a lot of hype about that vehicle just simply because it's a small truck and you can buy it for under $20,000 plus freight. They always price them like $19,995 plus freight. Freight is running around $1,200 right now, so that just kind of gives you an idea about it. Good news for car buyers, though, is that the hot used car market won't cool off soon. Now, why is that good news? Well, it's because your trade-in is not depreciating. It's actually appreciating. Wholesale vehicle values rose 27% last month from September of 2020. So that doesn't mean every car has gone up in value that much. I'm sure that's just an average of everything that's gone through the auction at the different auction places, but 27% increase, that's pretty substantial. And it does it offset the loss of really deep discounts on new cars and trucks and the loss of rebates? No. You know, it doesn't offset all of that. It offsets some of it. And interest rates are still low, so that's a good reason to still be out there shopping. You know, doggone it, though, if you just need a new vehicle, you just got to go out and get it, right? The key is not to pay too much over window sticker for a vehicle. I was talking to a customer the other day that was thinking about going to way out west to buy a new car that we don't sell. And I said, why are you doing that? And they said, well, they've got them in stock. And I said, well, how hard have you worked with the local dealer? I haven't. I was just searching online. I said, go to your local dealer and, you know, if you're wanting to buy a Honda or Toyota or something they don't have, give them a chance to find it for you. Now, granted, there are a lot of dealers out there that are not giving up any of their inventory, and I can understand why. Because if you, you know, own a big car dealership and you've got seven new vehicles in stock and somebody calls and wants one of them, you're going to be very reluctant to give that up. And you understand why. I mean, because that's how they make their living. They can't pay their bills if they don't have cars to sell. And the manufacturers are making it very hard on car dealers right now. But in some areas, it's better than in others. And we've been blessed. We've been able to get, I don't know, blessed by who? Blessed by the automakers, I guess. I don't think God has a whole lot to do with how many cars we get. Although he could if he wanted to. But I don't think that's something he's concerned about. But we are getting some vehicles and some of the ones that people are wanting, like Broncos and Bronco Sports and Nissan Rogues are really tight supply. We got a few extra of those. And the Frontiers, they are building some of those for everybody. So anyway, you know, this stuff is happening, and we just have to learn how to deal with it. Well, I'm going to take my first break, and I'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. You know, people will steal anything, as you well know. You probably have stuff taken from you, and you just wondered why somebody would want it. I've got too many things in my garage. I need to put it out there and get somebody to steal it. Advertise, please take, you know, something like that. I never have that much luck at garage sales, yard sales. I always end up with way too much stuff and sitting there all day out in the sun and bargaining with people and stuff. But to me, that's just not fun. But anyway, a lot of people are apparently stealing stickers. You know, when you get new, when you renew your registration, you typically take the sticker off that they give you and put it over the old one. You know, you have a 2021 sticker, and you peel off the 2022 sticker and put it over top of the old one. But a lot of thieves are able to peel these off. One way to help prevent that is to get a razor blade and slice through it about 10 times. Now, it'll still stick, but if you slice it up, they won't be able to peel it off in one peel, and so that will deter some. Still, they could just steal your whole license plate, which now they make license plate screws that you can buy that are, they're referred to as security screws, but basically they won't have a wrench or a screwdriver or something. A normal screwdriver won't take those off. It's almost like the locking lug nuts that you have on your wheels if you have expensive wheels. So you can put that on your license plate as well. I've had a license plate stolen several times, dealer tags, and they're really expensive, hard to run down, and you just you don't want to see somebody get away with that. But so anyway, it makes it harder for them to peel that sticker off, and I thought that was somewhat interesting. You know, I've never been a big fan of tinted windows in cars. And I know that I'm probably in the minority. I'm looking out my window right now in my office looking at the cars in the parking lot, and just about every one of them out there has had window tint applied over and above the factory tint that comes. Now, I think the police have pretty much given up on enforcing the standards as far as darkness, level of darkness is concerned, how dark the tint can be. I don't hear of anybody getting pulled over. I know when you install or have somebody install wind detenting on your vehicle, that they will have you sign a form if it's darker than the legal tint. And a lot of people, they just sign it. They don't care. I've never been a fan because I don't like the way it looks at night, and I have a hard enough time seeing at night anyway with these partial cataracts that I'm developing. You know, I thought the only cataract I would ever have would be have four wheels and I could drive it. No, that's a Cadillac. So that has affected my night driving, and I don't need wind detent to make it worse. Also, I don't know. I just like people to, you know, to be able to see who's driving the car. You know, if I'm mad at them, I want to be able to yell at them and them see me. No, I'm just kidding. I do think it's a hazard. But anyway, most people don't care. Wind detenting does keep your car cool. It does protect your interior surfaces, your seat fabric and so forth, your dash. Wind detenting has been around almost as long as radial tires have been. The 1958 Chevrolet Impala was the first, or one of the first cars that had factory installed tinted windows. 3M introduced wind detenting as we know it today that is applied in 1966, but it wasn't very good. It worked the opposite way you wanted to. Instead of reflecting light, it trapped heat in vehicles and bubbled and turned purple eventually. So then they came out with a second generation of wind detenting, and it was introduced in the early 90s. It absorbed heat better and reflected more harmful UV and IR. What's that stand for? Do you know? That is correct. Infrared radiation. So that doesn't sound like a good thing either. So anyway, anything that can stop those, I guess, is good, even though it does obscure your ability to see things. Reducing visible light transference, or VLT, and that's the amount of visible light that passes through the glass. VLT is measured by the percent of visible light that passes through. The higher the VLT, the more VL, visible light, it lets in. Now, there are two kinds of wind detenting. There's factory and aftermarket. Well, factory wind detenting is what we order from Ford. That's what comes made into the glass. They use dyes and color pigments and add those in with other raw materials during glass manufacturing. Now, the quantity and type of additives determines the glass color. I don't know if you've ever noticed some of these gold-tinted windows that come like on some of the old Lexus cars. But that was totally different from the greenish-bluish tint that we have in most other vehicles. I guess most of them are really actually a version of gray. But anyway, factory wind detenting commonly has a VLT of 74% to 85%. Now, tinted glass is standard on basically all cars sold in the United States. Manufacturers found that reducing ultraviolet and infrared rays allows the air conditioner to operate more efficiently and keep your vehicle cooler and uses less energy overall. Now, aftermarket window tint is a plastic film. It's usually polyester. It's typically applied to the inside of the windows. Like factory window tinting, different types and quantities of additives affect the tint's final color, VLT, and the film's reflective properties. Aftermarket window tint can have a VLT of 5%, that's super dark, like a limo, allowing virtually no light in, to a 90%, which is virtually clear. And even though it's clear, it absorbs more than 60% of the total solar energy and more than 90% of the infrared heat. Now, both types reduce the interior temperatures while protecting interior surfaces from damaging sunlight. You know, one of the biggest problems that we run into when we're restoring old cars is the dash, because so many of them are made out of a form of vinyl or plastic, and they crack. And they are just virtually impossible to fix and make it look right. You have to order a new material, and that material is not very high quality either. So that's a big issue that probably could have been a non-issue if they had different kinds of tint back in those days. But there are different types of window tint. Each of them have unique features. All window tints reduce or block sun glare and have at least three layers. The adhesive layer itself, the tint, depending on the type of film, and a protective top that prevents chips and scratches. The most common types of window tint are like a dyed window tint, mostly used for appearance and privacy, although the darkest option, dyed window tint, VLT, doesn't impede seeing cars or objects approaching from the rear or side of your vehicle. The pros are that it's non-reflective, it reduces interior heat levels, and doesn't interfere with the electronics. The cons is that the layers break down and they separate, and that doesn't look good. You see a lot of bubbles in the back window of a lot of cars. Sometimes they fade over time as well. Now, metalized window tint has layers that are embedded with metal particles to reflect heat, darken the glass, and block UV radiation. They're durable, they resist fading, and they help your air conditioner work better, but they have kind of a shiny appearance from the outside. Metal particles may interfere also with vehicle electronics like cell phone signals and radio reception, so that's no good. They have a hybrid window tint that combines the best characteristics of dyed and metalized window tints, but they're more expensive than either of those two. There's also a carbon window tint. It's constructed of hundreds of micro layers of polymer and carbon. This film offers a dark matte finish that is fade resistant and reduces the harsh effects of UV and IR. There is no reflective mirror finish. It does not affect electronics, but it's expensive, so that's why a lot of people don't use carbon window tint. And then there's the highest quality of window tint, and it is ceramic window tint. It's the most technologically advanced. It's non-conductive, non-metallic. It absorbs and reflects sunlight. Sounds good so far. It greatly reduces solar energy entering your car. Matter of fact, it absorbs twice as much heat as dyed and hybrid window tints do. It doesn't interfere with any of those signals. But it's also expensive and doesn't provide as much privacy. But it does everything else. So that might be the way to go. Ceramic window tint may be your best option. So folks, this is one of those jobs that's best left to the professionals, people who have done it before. And it is such a common thing now for people to have it done. I mean, it's just automatic. Well, I got to get my windows tinted now. I bought a new car. It is just second nature. It's totally not for me. I will never get my windows tinted on a car. I just don't like it, as previously mentioned. But the industry is booming, and there's a lot of profit margin in it. A typical job will cost from $200 to $300. You know, you can buy a 100-foot-long by 24-inch wide roll of 50% film for less than $80. But you know, there's a lot of profit margin built into it. But who cares? I mean, these people deserve to be paid and to make a living if, you know, they're doing a good job. And, you know, if that window tint stays on there because it was applied properly, there's no bubbles, even in the rear window. I mean, to make tint look good over top of a window with a rear defroster on it, that takes a lot of skill. These guys know what they're doing. Tommy Bennett is a good one in Greenville, Tennessee. He has been doing it for probably 25 years. I don't know what his phone number is, or you just look him up. Let your fingers do the walking. Look him up in the Yellow Pages. But Tommy Bennett is one that I would recommend in Greenville. Now, I'm sure there are a bunch of them up in the Tri-Cities and different places. But, you know, it is a skill set, and it's easier than it used to be because a lot of them come pre-cut. But you're still going to be able to get the windows clean and dirt-free. You know, just a little speck of dirt can ruin a tint job. And so it does take a lot of skill, and these guys know what they're doing. Okay, well, that's all I have to say about window tinting. Again, I'm not a fan. I don't recommend it for the average car, but for people who want to look cool and be invisible to others and also keep their interior a little bit cooler, I see the advantage of it. So I'm just going to leave my personal opinion out of it. Go get your windows tinted. We'll be back in just a minute. I didn't really meet him until after I graduated from college. But he became a customer of ours over at the dealership, and he was, when I was a service advisor, I was always scared of him. He was only about, I guess Gary's probably 5 years older than me, and a big, strong, muscular guy, just, and I always said, I always felt like Gary was in a perpetual bad mood. I mean, he drove a bread truck and got up at like 3 a.m. and had to do that, and then as soon as he got done with that, he would go to the farm, and he would, you know, plow the fields and sow all the different things that they were growing at that time. And when his truck broke down, he was mad, and he would come in, and he always scared me. But anyway, we got to know each other pretty good. Eventually, we played a lot of basketball together and got to know each other. And eventually, he decided he didn't want to drive bread truck anymore, so he became a salesperson and probably one of the best ones that ever come out of Greene County. And just as an indication of that, he used to go deer hunting in Illinois. And he met this guy that ran or owned this farm that they would hunt on and became good friends. And over the years, they got to, well, it didn't take long. You know, I think Gary sold him a truck within the first 6 months after he met him. But folks, he has sold them over in Illinois, and the family of that main farmer and multiple other families around there. When he quit working at Gateway, he had sold them 138 vehicles over there. And that's just the sign of, you know, somebody that people like and that they trust, but also shows you that if you're nice to people and you have something that they want and you figure out a way to help them get it, then you can make a living doing just about anything about anywhere. The internet has made it even more possible to do that because of the way you can reach out to people. But there's nothing like developing relationships through a handshake, and it became a long-term relationship. And I remember we would actually deliver vehicles to them. We'd meet them halfway. Gary would sell two or three vehicles, and we'd haul up, get a bunch of people, and drive to Nashville and meet them at the Bass Pro Shop parking lot in Nashville. And then they would bring their trade-ins, and we would swap money and then drive back. And that's just such a cool story for new salespeople who are trying to develop business, and just shows you what good relationships can yield as far as business is concerned. Well, anyway, that's the end of My Car Guru, and we'll see you tomorrow.